get into a real estate of mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Abhi Goldhawk. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Abhi Goldhawk is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Think Realty Nation, welcome to the show. It's your host, Abhi Goldhawk. I'm excited to be here today because we're talking about a topic that, quite frankly, I've always wanted to learn more about. You know, I have a fund, it's called Summit & Crown, and we purchase mobile home parks, but I haven't really gotten into the business of mobile homes specifically because I have a team for that and I'm generally the guy that's raising the money. I will say, though, we went out and we sought an expert that understands mobile home parks, the operation of mobile home parks, and what one needs to do to invest in them to really create a community. And I'm excited to have her on the air. Her name is Shaman Van Gundy. And like, this conversation for me is going to be so much fun. Like, I feel like I'm going to learn a lot. So I have like my crayon, I've got my construction paper, and I'm ready to take some notes. So Shaman, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So my name is Shaman Van Gundy. And of course, my expertise area is mobile homes. I was recently featured in a book. It was actually an Amazon bestseller. It went bestseller status in less than 12 hours. But it was a collaborative book by 20 different women. And it was called Wealth for Women, Conversations with the Team that Creates the Dream, the Top 20 Female Real Estate Investors That Can Get You Wealthy in Real Estate. And I was actually quite honored to be in that book. And of course, my chapter in that book is all on mobile home investing. I'm a mother of five children. And I was at a corporate job and had been laid off from the corporate job and was referred by a friend to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad regarding money. And I was in and out of foster care as a young teen, and I was never taught about money. The only thing that I was taught was scarcity, right? Like, we don't have enough. We never have enough. And so nobody ever really taught me anything about it. And I read that book.
Right.
And I know this sounds really cliche, but it changed my life. And after being laid off from my corporate job, I really didn't know what I was going to do. I was newly married and I came into my marriage with four children. My new husband and I now, I was married previously. We have a daughter together too. So that gave us our five. But you know, at 37 years old, I heard the words, I believe in you, for the very first time. And you took those four words that my husband said with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it totally, magically transformed my entire life. And that's really how I can talk about it. And I went to an introductory course where they drew my name out of a hat, went to the three-day basic training where I met my mentor, Dr. Mary Jo Wilson. She's known as Dr. Taxwing. And I took my education through Rich Dad Education or Elite Legacy. And I needed $20,000 for some classes and a mentor. And I went home and I didn't have $20,000. And so I sold stuff. I sold jewelry. I sold some Thomas Kincaid paintings that I had in it. Collection of collectibles that I'd had since I was a little girl. And I came up with about 17 grand and my husband gave me the other three and the rest is history. So that's kind of how I got started.
Congrats.
In real estate investing.
Yeah. Congratulations on your success so far. That's incredible. I mean,
yeah, thank you.
So what's your inner, like your inner voice now? Of course that's changed. And now it's more to the positive and you're using that and you're leveraging that to your benefit. But what was your inner voice telling you back when you didn't know how to invest and you're like, well, I don't know, versus where it is right now, which from what I can tell is super powerful and super go-getter and I'm going to make it happen.
Right. So, you know, epiphanies come, right? And so I had went through a 14-year marriage before and was divorced. And that it was really kind of a catastrophic event in my life. And then got remarried to literally somebody who inspires and encourages me. And it was just very, 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 very different things. And so back then, I just I always knew that I needed to do something. And so I was a division director for a, you know, a corporation. I was making them a ton of money. I do have a bachelor's of arts in criminal justice with a minor in law and a minor in sociology. So I went to college. I did that. And I was making them a lot of money and then was laid off. And I just remember when my husband said, I believe in you. And I'm like, you know, I don't know how this is going to work, but I just said, give me 2 years and I'll change our life. And I literally went from thinking that rich people were bad, 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 and people who made money somehow, some way hurt others, to going, oh my God, this is amazing. I can make my money work for me. And most people that have money have actually worked and earned it. There's very few people that were born to rich parents who inherited money. And so it was really kind of, it was really an epiphany for me. It was really my epiphany bridge that I had to cross and take that journey on my own. And what a fantastic journey it was. So it really went from changing my mindset to be in one way to having a mindset of positive affirmations, telling myself that I can do it. And the one thing for me that really stuck was I did not want to have to continue to depend on my ex-husband to pay child support for whether or not I was going to be able to feed my babies. Mm. And I didn't feel like it was my new husband's responsibility to take care of the four children that I brought into the marriage. And that's so powerful. For me, I was hungry.
Yeah.
I was hungry.
I can tell. I mean, it's interesting to see when one is put against a wall and that's all you got, right? Your back is against the wall and you're looking forward and that's the only direction you can go.
Right.
Diamonds are formed under immense pressure. I feel like that's exactly the same story that you have, and that's what happened. How do you juggle being a mom with five kids and running a business and doing all the stuff? Because I'm a guy, right? Like I can't figure out how to like fry an egg and also do dishes at the same time. Like men are terrible at this. We are not multitaskers. You know, y'all, I mean, women, y'all have this figured out. You can like paint a ceiling. You can fry an egg. You can, you know, get kids ready off to school and do taxes all at the same time, blindfolded. Like, how do you do all this? How do you juggle it all?
With great difficulty. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and give the audience, paint this rosy picture, right? Like I'm here to be real. And so there's some days with great difficulty, but when you are hungry and you want to do it, you make it work. And that's one thing that I have to say about women all over the country and all over the world. We're the ones that have to make it work. And so we do. And let me tell you something, managing, and I actually run and own five different companies. I'm running and owning five different companies. Luckily, two of my kids have they're adults. So I have a son that's 24 and a daughter that's 18. Mm-hmm. So they're both out on their own, spreading their wings and flying. And I have 15, 7, and 5 at home. But, you know, still, I still got soccer practice, dance practice, all those things. So it's about juggling and prioritizing things that you need. So when I'm at work, I'm at work and I focus on work. When I'm at home and I focus on my home. And I think that's what you have to do, whether as a parent, anytime. When you're at work, you focus on your work. And when you're at home, you focus on your family. And you have to be able to make those things happen.
That's right. We got to go to break. We're going to get into the weeds of mobile homes and investing in mobile homes when we come back. Have questions for me? Head on over to thinkrealtyradio.com. On the right side, you'll see a little form. You can punch in your question. If you want to get in touch with Shaman, super easy to do it. Go to www.mobilehomemillions.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages. We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar, the host of Think Realty Radio. Excuse me, we're back. My guest today is Shamen Van Gundy, and we're talking about mobile home investing. You know, as a real estate investor, you think about single-family flips. You think about single-family rentals. You think about tax liens. You might even think about probate records and new construction and commercial real estate. But, you know, there's a segment of real estate investing that could potentially be more profitable and leave more of a legacy and make you feel like you're creating a community. That's mobile homes. And quite frankly, just from my perspective, I need to get more into this. Like, I've been a single family flip guy, single family rental guy, even now apartment complexes. I just haven't given as much attention as I should to mobile homes. And so I feel like that's such a good idea. Shamen, what do you think about that? What do you think about these investors that are out there flipping homes? I'm sure you have a perspective.
Well, I do. I mean, so when I started my journey, you know, I wholesaled a couple of brick and mortar houses. I did one flip, but the one flip caused me so much stress. It was so crazy. I was like, this is ridiculous. Right. And the one thing that I love about mobile homes, because I do fix and flip them, right? And then I sell or finance them. But one thing that I love about mobile homes is I literally can crawl under that mobile home, look at the underbelly and look at the underneath of that mobile home and look at the roof and almost know exactly to the penny how much I'm going to spend on my rehab. And with houses, you can't do that because you can't see what's in the walls. You can't see that. So that's one thing that I love about mobile homes. The other thing that I love about manufactured housing or mobile homes is there's three classes in real estate, right? That are basically recession proof. Okay. One is mobile homes. Two is land, and three is self-storage. And on November 15th, 2018, MSN's Market Watch News came out with an actual article talking about how trailers and trailer park stock have actually maintained or increased their value in market slumps. So for over the last decade, it has actually maintained it or gone up and increased. So in the last recession that we had in 2008, manufactured housing went up more than 20%. Bring on the next recession, right?
Right.
But on the other point, though, this is really the last stand and the last frontier for affordable housing in the U.S. And I'm on a mission to let people know that hedge funds, Wall Street hedge funds, ruined apartment investment. Apartment buildings, the requirements, the regulations, the everything that you have to go through, and the amount of money that they want for an apartment where it used to be affordable housing is ridiculous. So I'm like, Wall Street, stay out of this space, because if we let them in this space, they're going to ruin manufactured housing and parks as well. And you have articles all over the country where people are increasing, you know, these capital funders, right, are going out and they're raising funds for these mobile home parks, but they're increasing rents on people by 58-70%.
That's right.
Okay, so a lot of these people can't afford to live there. They've been in the park for 10 years and they can't afford to move. What do you do in that case? So I really am all about making sure that we fix and flip with integrity. When we owner finance it out, they can afford it, and we're giving them a beautiful place to live with beautiful, affordable housing that they can live in and call it their home and give people home ownership. And so that's the other part of this that I absolutely love and is near and dear to my heart. And so I really don't want to see this asset class ruined. So I'm really trying to educate people about it. But you can make money with mobile homes and manufactured housing, but have some core values. Do it with dignity and respect. Don't just be money hungry and it's all about how much money I want to make, because karma comes around. It comes around and it's going to get you.
So a lot of folks listening will kind of look at this and hear this and say, okay, well, you know, mobile homes aren't really my style. So you have those folks that may not jump in just from that perspective. You do have a lot of institutional capital that will take a look at different spaces. Like you said, I mean, you have the apartment complex space, which is what I'm very familiar with. and you have a lot of competition in that space. You also Correct. Have the flip space, you have single family rentals, and you have Invitation Homes that owns more than 20,000 single family rentals that they raised millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for. And I do wonder what would happen to the mobile home park space if you had institutional jump in. I mean, they're looking at it from a money perspective. And so Correct. Maybe, like you said, educating some of these some of the more mom and pop real estate investors and say, hey, you know, there's opportunity here. You can do it ethically. You can do it morally. And you can also right. run a profit. That's a good idea. It's also very similar to turning around a neighborhood and saying, well, hey, we're just going to kick out all the riffraff and we're going to put in new housing. Well, then the riffraff is just going to go somewhere else. It's not about getting rid of the riffraff. It's about re-educating right, exactly. the riffraff. And exactly. that's exactly. I mean, and then you see these case studies in Detroit and Chicago, and that's always a challenge. You've created an online training platform. It's called Mobile Home Millions. Help me understand what the online the trading platform is and why you created that.
Yeah. So I quickly realized that, you know, when we're talking individual mobile home units, right? Because mobile homes so you have two classes in mobile homes. It can either be personal property or real property. If it's real estate and real property, it means it's attached to land, okay? If it's personal property, it means that it sits in a park on a lot. So when you're dealing with personal property with mobile homes, you actually can buy and sell them very, very easily. So what Mobile Home Millions does is it teaches people how to go out and negotiate. You have somebody who's selling a home, and a lot of times if they're selling a manufactured house, it's because they're getting a new one, they need it gone ASAP, or they're moving and they're up, you know what I'm saying, and they're mm-hmm. they're moving to another area, whatever, and they don't have money to move it. So either way, in those two scenarios, they need to sell it quickly. So I teach people how to go in, create a relationship with that owner, be able to discount the mobile home, look for things that are wrong with it, because 99.9% of the times it has some significant issues, mm-hmm. be able to get the price down, and then on the other end, find a seller that's willing and has the time to fix up that mobile home that you can do it, you can sell it for a profit. And so you're basically wholesaling it. You're getting it under contract for one price and assigning your contract to another person at a higher price. So, you know, if somebody wants $5,000 for their mobile homes, I can go in, negotiate the price to $2,000 and sell it on the other end for $6,000, because maybe I'm better at marketing than they are and they don't care. They're just glad to have cash in their pocket. So now if we bought it for $2,000 and sold it for $6,000, we've made $4,000 in the middle. And so my epiphany came when I did it for one of my very first deals. I did a wholesale mobile home and I made $5,000 off of my first wholesale mobile home. And in my mind, I was like, this was so easy. It was 3 hours. The whole process took me 3 hours. And I was like, wow, if I could do one a week, I could make like $20,000 a month. And there's tons of them. And so I had this epiphany one day when somebody said, you need to teach people how to do this. This is life changing. And that's what I did.
That's awesome. I do want to ask you, when we come back from break, how one can wholesale a mobile home with no money or credit, which is would be an awesome case study to talk about. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Think Realty Nation, go to thinkrealtyradio.com, ask your questions. And got questions for Shamen, super easy on how to get in touch with her. Go to mobilehomemillions.com. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. Real estate investing made easy when Think Realty Radio returns. Think Realty Radio is back with host and real estate investment pro, Abhi Golhar.
We're back, Think Realty Nation. It's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to the show. So I do want to do a little bit of a recap here. Mobile homes are a really good way. If you haven't started to maybe diversify your portfolio a little bit and you want to create impact in a space that, quite frankly, could use that level of help, that level of, hey, you know what, honesty and just doing good for people and by other people, mobile home parks is it. And mobile homes specifically, if you want to do the larger deals, then you have that ability as well. You have that opportunity. But my guest today is Shamen Van Gundy. We're talking about mobile homes and how you can really kind of fit into the picture and, quite frankly, how mobile homes can fit into your portfolio. Real quick, question for you. Do me a favor, Shamen. Let's do a recap on mobile homes, and then let's start talking about how you can wholesale one without money or credit.
Okay, sure. So in mobile homes or manufactured housing space, if you're talking about individual homes, there's two different classifications. You have real property, which is real estate. That means it's attached to land. Or you have personal property, which means it's like a car. Okay, it has a title, not a deed. And so those are usually mobile homes that are in lots and parks. So that's one. The next thing is that you can easily buy and sell mobile homes with no money and no credit, and that's by using an assignment agreement. And that means that, let's say somebody wants to sell their home for $5,000, you go, you look at the mobile home, you negotiate the price, you get it down to $2,000. Let's say you're better at marketing than they are, and you find somebody who's willing and has the time and the bandwidth to fix up that mobile home, and you can sell it to them for $6,000. Now you've just made $4,000 in the middle, and all you did was put the deal together, and that was done by an assignment contract and or an assignment agreement. And what I want people to understand is assignment agreements are used every day in America. When you close on your HELOC, when you close on a new home loan, there is a form in that package that tells you that they're actually going to be selling that package or that loan to another company within like 10 days, usually Fannie or Freddie. So they have to have an assignment agreement that you sign in order to do that. That's what we're doing. We're using an assignment agreement, putting the deal together and getting money in the middle. And when I did my first one, Abby, and I made $5,000, and I realized that if I did one a week, I could make $20,000 a month. The epiphany came to me that if I could teach one single mother how to do this, and even if she did one a month and she made $3,000 to $5,000, how that would change her life, how it would change the life of a college student that's trapped with debt, how it would change the life of families, new families out there, any family struggling, or the empty nester, or the senior citizen who is barely making it on Social Security. And the fact of the matter is, in this country, we have 10,000 senior citizens, or actually 10,000 people a day for the next 7 years turning 65 or older.
That's right.
And they are selling their brick and mortar homes, and they are cashing out, and they are going to live in places like Florida and Texas and Mississippi and other places like that. And they are living a good life because now they've bought a mobile home unit, and now they just pay lot rent, and their taxes, they're only taxed like a car on that mobile home because it's personal property.
Yep, that's right. And I will also say this about the retirement crisis too, that I've found to be really quite staggering. I mean, we talk about those that are retiring every single day, right? You mentioned the right number. It's the 10,000 people, 10,000 baby boomers a day for the next 7 years that are retiring. What better way to provide some additional cash flow, some additional capital gains, some additional money in your retirement account as you're retiring? What better way to do that than to get into the mobile home business and to start flipping some of these things and then start to realize the passive cash flow potentially that one could gain from that? Talk to that for a quick second, Shamen, if you don't mind, the passive income piece of mobile homes and how one develops that and understands it.
Sure. So I have what I call the kiss of death in any mobile home park investment or any mobile home investment period. When I started out with this, I rented my two mobile home units that I started with, and within a couple months, they hadn't changed the filters, and two AC units went out. And in Texas, when it's 110 degrees, it's got to be fixed in 24 hours. And I realized after a conversation with my mentor that I needed to switch it to owner finances. So if you're going to do this, avoid the rental kiss of death in the mobile home space and actually go with what I call the kiss of gold and actually do a seller financed unit. Because guess what? When you do that and you act as the bank, you are actually you are not a landlord. So you now give them pride of ownership. They're going to change those filters in the AC. They're going to not, you know, put stuff in the plumbing that they shouldn't because they own the unit and they'll have to fix it. Mm-hmm. So with pride of ownership comes less responsibility for us, but then we get to keep more of the cash flow. So this is where I have really found my kiss of gold. So I have a kiss of death and a kiss of gold in the mobile home space.
That's right.
And so that's what I've done. I have no rentals. All of my units are owner financed units, period. And awesome. That's all I do. And it's what I do in my mobile home parks too.
So when it comes to mobile homes being recession proof, it reminds me of your different classes of cars. Right, you have Lexus, yeah. You have Mercedes, you have BMW, and when there is a recession, those are the first kind of cars, your luxury cars, that won't be purchased. What will be purchased, however, are your Toyota Camrys, right? A couple years old, they don't have all the features, right. But you know what? They're going to be there, they're going to stand the test of time, and they're just a little cheaper. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the person driving that Toyota Camry is a bad person. Many people think about mobile homes and mobile home parks as where you just have such weird, rundown, terrible, right? And then the demographic is, oh my gosh, you know, like you don't want to even deal with these people. It doesn't make any sense. Help me maybe in the next 30 seconds, debunk some of those myths about folks that actually live in mobile home parks are bad people, which I know is not the case.
Absolutely. So I'm going to shoot the sacred cows right now. In 2017, the National Manufactured Housing Institute came out with statistics, and these are the facts. The facts are 22 million Americans live in mobile homes. Of those 22 million, 4.5 million make six figures a year. Go to Florida. Those people are not trailer trash, but we have it in our head that people think that people who live in mobile homes are trailer trash, and that's not the case. You have 4.5 million people in America who make six figures a year living in mobile homes and manufactured housing because they don't want to be house poor. They want to actually have an abundant life, and they're able to live in really nice mobile homes.
Totally love that. I mean... we need to shed ourselves of this perception that we've created that it's not that these folks are they're people, right? They're not trailer trash. They're people that are some choose to live there. There are other folks that are like, hey, cool. I mean, this is affordable. It makes sense. And like you said, 22 million Americans live in mobile homes. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's an asset class that makes sense. They're for really good people. And quite frankly, if you can cater to their needs, you're solving a major issue for them.
Well, and not only that, Avi, you also have millions. I'm not talking about illegal aliens, okay? I'm talking about millions of migrant workers that come here, okay, from Mexico every year. They're here on, you know, they're actually here on I-10. They're here legally. They're here on work visas. They have no credit, and they have no Social Security number and no bank account. That's what right. about those people as well? And manufactured housing helps those people too.
That's right. We got to go to break. Think Realty Nation. Got questions? Head on over to thinkrealtyradio.com. You want to get in touch with Shemin? Super easy on how to do that. Her website is www.mobilehomemillions.com. Last 10 minutes of Think Realty Radio is coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Don't touch that dial. Real estate investing made easy when Think Realty Radio returns. Think Realty Radio is back with host and real estate investment pro, Avi Goldhawk.
All right, we're back to the final 10 minutes of Think Realty Radio, everybody. I'm your host, Avi Goldhawk. If you have questions for me off air, I know you do. Head on over to thinkrealtyradio.com. You can find me anywhere online, most notably Instagram and LinkedIn at Abhi Golhar. So feel free to message me direct one-on-one. I'll answer your questions for you there too. My guest today has been incredibly filled with amazing information about mobile homes and how you, the real estate investor, the business owner, that successful entrepreneur can add mobile homes to your portfolio of existing properties. But maneuvering through the mobile home world isn't necessarily always as easy as it sounds. So my guest, Shemin, has been super, super, super fun in breaking down these ideas that many of us have and hold about mobile home parks. We might think, hey, it's trailer trash, or they're just decrepit properties. Well, quite frankly, that isn't necessarily the case. Shemin, let's finish out the show by offering some gold nuggets, some actionable insights for our guests, for our listeners, on what they can do to get into the space the right way and make some serious impact for those families and for their clients. And then, of course, you know, they'll make a little money in the process.
Sure. So one of the, I think one of the great ways that they can get started in this space is really read the book called Deals on Wheels by Lonnie Scruggs. It's a great book. And he actually talks about in that book about owner financing mobile homes. And so it's really important. And as a mom, I don't want to be dealing with the four T's, right? Your toilets, trash, termites, and tenants. Who has time for that?
Right.
I don't want to be dealing with that. I don't want to be getting calls saying I need to unclog a toilet. So by seller financing out these units, you're actually giving yourself a lot of freedom. But at the same time, you're giving yourself freedom of time. But then you're giving yourself freedom of money because you're cash flowing these passively with really very little work involved. And so the other way that they can do it is start out small. You know, I always tell people, you know, when you invest, you don't just become a brand new real estate investor and then say, I want to invest in apartments, and you don't know anything about them. What I would tell people is start with one unit. That, you know, watch some videos on it, some videos on YouTube about mobile homes, and kind of fill it out. Do a wholesale. Learn your market. Learn about it. And then move your way up. So go from wholesaling mobile homes and using those assignment agreements like we talked about earlier to then going to fix and flips and then, you know, fixing some up and then seller financing those out to then looking for people that can help you where you can actually invest in parks and not, you know, not lose your shirt. And one thing that I really want to let the audience know is, you know, there is some pitfalls to avoid, and I want to make sure that if you have a mobile home park or even mobile homes that you're investing in and you're in states like Texas and Arizona and you're kind of on the southwest of the U.S., you cannot go to South Carolina and North Carolina and run your parks the same way.
That's right.
And then be able to think that you're going to make a profit. They're two very different demographics there. And what I see real mobile home investors do all the time is they immediately go into parks, they put in management, right? And then they like do rentals, and that's your kiss of death. And what I want to tell people is in this asset class, a lot of people, they look at management as adversarial, and a lot of these parks it is. So what I'm about to say, Abhi, is going to kind of really take people by surprise, right? But this is my number one secret that I'm going to share with people. You do not have to have management in a mobile home park to make money. And I'm going to say that.
Interesting.
You do not have to have management in a mobile home park to make money. And actually, I'm going to be that dart thrower and that line pusher and tell you that you're actually going to make less money if you have management in your mobile home parks than if you wouldn't. And what I mean by that is I don't mean that you don't have anybody that doesn't manage it at all, because if you're in Colorado and you've bought a park in South Carolina, how do you handle that? You set it up like a homeowners association. Now they are responsible for their own community. You have a president, a vice president, a secretary, and these people are voted on, and they meet. And let me tell you something. There's a Mrs. Kravitz in every mobile home park across the country.
That's right.
And I know everything that's going on in my parks.
Yeah.
Everything.
I love
and it. And I just raised my cap rates because I did away with the riffraff management and empowered my people in their park to be responsible for their community. And you know what? The transformations in these communities have been amazing. I've taken parks that I bought at 6 and 8 caps, and they're in 22 and 24 caps right now. Just
that's pretty cool. So essentially what I'm getting from all of this is understand mobile homes, understand how to run mobile home parks operationally.
Yeah.
And they can really be a good value add to the portfolio, but then that's the byproduct, right? That's the result. The result of doing good for the community, the result of doing good for these folks that they need the help. Otherwise, yeah, they're going to be stuck with some manager and they're going to say, okay, well, geez, I have to report to this guy or gal. And that will probably create more animosity in the community than do good for it.
Absolutely. And I would love to give you an example.
Sure, go for it.
Where I live in the San Antonio area, there is a corporate-owned park, and there's a group out of Colorado that owns this park, and the lot rents are $580, and they call it trailer trash. They call it the trailer trash terminal, and it is a gritty, dumpy park, okay? It is bad. There's no amenities. The management is not on site. Nobody's there. Nobody knows what's going on. There's been multiple drug busts in this community, okay? But there's a community that's 5 miles away in the same place, and it's been owned by a woman for over 25 years. It is a preferred community, which when you're a preferred community, it means that your insurance rate is lower. They've got 2 swimming pools, tennis courts, basketball courts, and you get a storage unit to store your stuff in.
That's
and
pretty cool.
And this all comes with lot rent. And their lot rent is $500 a month, and it's a beautiful community. So just because... So that's my thing again. When you
how does one build those kind of amenities into a mobile home park and still make it affordable on the purchase and also affordable for the residents of the mobile home park?
Because of the relationship. And when you don't have management and you install an HOA and they're doing it on their own and they're managing their own selves, you're saving yourself $30,000. $40,000 a year because now you're not paying a park manager. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing what happens when you empower people. It really is. When you make people responsible for their own community and you empower them, that's when they start taking pride in things. And so really, I've seen this transformation. You know, we're in 11 states, and I've seen this transformation all over the U.S., and it's been amazing to see what happens when you empower people. And like I said, none of my parks, there's no parks that I own that have managers. Everything is ran like an HOA.
And I think that's really the name of the game, right? If you treat other people properly, and it doesn't matter what industry you're in, right? You could be in mobile home parks, you can be in flipping, you could be in single-family rentals, you could own 200 single family rentals. You can own 43 apartment complexes that are 250 units on up. At the end of the day, if you treat everybody appropriately, you'll see the higher retention. You'll see the love. You'll see the money if that's what you're in it for, which I'll tell you, you shouldn't only be in it for the money.
Correct.
But if you're in it for the money, you'll see it. But you need somebody on your team that's like a shaman that really cares about a community, and she really cares about this concept of being human. Because you know what? We all need help, and we can all get there, but we can get there together. Thanks so much for being on the show, Shaman. I certainly appreciate it. What's the best way that our listeners can get in touch with you if they have any questions?
Sure. They can go to my website, which is mobilehomemillions.com. And they can click on info, and they actually can email me questions.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for sharing your insights on the show today.
Sure.
Rock
Absolutely.
Star. All right. If you want to get in touch, you know how to do it. Go to thinkrealtyradio.com. You have Shaman's information, and I'll tell you something. Dig deep, do good, and then make money. Not the other way around. I'll see you next time. Happy investing. We'll be right back.
The show is over, but Abhi's expertise is available for you 24/7 at thinkrealtyradio.com. Videos, articles, podcasts, insights, everything you need to create more for your future right at your fingertips. Think Realty Radio, a real estate of mind, online at thinkrealtyradio.com.